I wonder if we could turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. And we're going to read from verse 5. Well, let's read from the start, just maybe we'll get the context. We'll just read from the start of Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened. But if any man shall say unto you, 'Lo, here is Christ,' or 'there,' believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts for his name's sake. And once again, we have thought there of the repeated mention of how, when it comes to the end of the age, that there be false Christs and false prophets, and we have an increase in false cults and heterodox religions in this day in which we live. So many diverse religions, and those that have risen up in order to thrust forth themselves really in the place of authority as prophets of God and prophets of the word. Now tonight we're thinking about Scientology, and Scientology, we said this about Christian Science, and I suppose we have said it a few times, but it's not really Christian at all, and it's less Christian than even some of those that we have said are not Christian at all. The first Church of Scientology was organized in 1953 in Camden, New Jersey, by Lafayette Ron Hubbard, known as L. Ron Hubbard. He obviously didn't like the name Lafayette, and I don't blame him. And his wife was Mary Sue Hubbard, and the other man that organized the church was John Galusha. And he developed his ideas a few years earlier in the book called Dianetics, the Modern Science of Mental Health. And really, this religion is a kind of a self-help, psychological kind of religion. It sort of professes as a poor man's psychiatry that in order to get rid of all of your hang-ups and all of the things that are bothering you and your anxiety, that you go through the process that he advocates. In those days, psychiatry, there was lobotomies, electric shock therapy, and all of these things that are very much frowned upon today. And so this was something that was new. Now, Scientology is a wealthy person's religion and a wealthy religion in its own right, and it attracts high-profile people and celebrities. Indeed, well, it has gone out of its way to try and attract celebrities. And there have been high-profile Hollywood stars that have been in the movement. In August 8, 1986, there were reports in the newspapers that Lisa Marie Presley, the daughter of Elvis Presley, and his heir, she had just received $2 million from her father's estate. She was going to receive a further $2 million and then the palatial Graceland's estate when she was 25. And Scientology was really taking Lisa Marie in and handling her carefully, because they were in hopes that they would get a chunk of the money that she was inheriting. The organization had a program of celebrity recruitment from at least 1955, when L. Ron Hubbard created Project Celebrity, offering Scientologists who recruited targeted celebrities rewards. And early interested parties included the silent screen star Gloria Swanson and the jazz pianist Dave Brubeck. The celebrities that perhaps are to the fore today are those three there: Kirstie Alley, Tom Cruise, and John Travolta, who are Scientologists and very much to the fore. Particularly Tom Cruise really is more or less near the top of the organization at the present time. He's not the top, but he has a big influence in it. The church, as we say, is very wealthy. It owns approximately 12 million square feet of property in Hollywood, 26 properties worth $400 million in Clearwater, Florida. There is the church's headquarters. It possesses 68 parcels of land worth $168 million. In 1976, the U.S. tax officials said or found $1.25 million on board L. Ron Hubbard's boat, his ship or yacht, named Apollo. Scientology is organized so that the bulk of the money raised goes into the central funds called the Sea Org Reserves, and local Scientology organizations send the bulk of their money up the lines to the central headquarters. It's probably more of a business than a religion. It's estimated the Church of Scientology has a gross annual income of £45 million in 1990. The founder, L. Ron Hubbard, had an estate in East Grinstead in West Sussex, a 30-room mansion that he bought in the 1950s, where he was waited upon by young messengers, young women who lit his cigarettes, helped him out of bed, dressed him, cleaned his office, washed his clothes, and recorded all that he said. The Reader's Digest a number of years ago said that Scientology is one of the oldest, wealthiest, and most dangerous of the new religions or cults operating today. It has gone through a number of controversies and still does. You can get programs on the TV running all the time. The present, almost, if you look down through the TV, you'll find a program on Scientology exposing some of the things that go on. But in Dublin, a number of years ago, there was a family that accused the Scientologists of kidnapping their children and brainwashing them. And of course, like many cults, Scientology discourages any contact with your family. They don't want them to have any contact with the family. There have been many accusations of wrongdoing. In October 1979, 9 Scientology workers were accused, including the wife of L. Ron Hubbard, were found guilty in the United States of conspiracy charges. And the Assistant U.S. Attorney, Raymond Bannoun, remarked, and he said, the evidence presented to the court shows brazen criminal campaigns against private and public organizations and individuals. The Scientology officials hid behind claims of religious liberty while inflicting injuries upon every element of society. Bonnie Woods was a former member, and Scientology will come after you if you criticize it. They will use their wealth in order to try and use lawfare against you. And Bonnie Woods was a former member who began counseling people to come out of it, and she was targeted by the Scientologists. They found out that there was somebody that they owed money to, and they financed them to provide free legal assistance to sue the Woodses into bankruptcy. And after a long battle and libel suits in 1999, the church agreed on a settlement of $55,000 damages and $100,000 of costs to them. There have been multiple cases of those that opposed or criticised Scientologists who've been targeted by surveillance and lawsuits. Scientology, as we say, uses its wealth to wage lawfare. In August 1979, a jury in Portland, Oregon, agreed that the cult's behaviour was fraudulent and awarded considerable damages to 17-year-old Julie Christofferson, who had been recruited and abused by them. And there have been accusations of money laundering and criminality that has been made in a court case that is ongoing. Scientology did have a presence, at least, in Northern Ireland on the Albert Bridge Road in Belfast, although it seems that that office is closed. That's the yellow one there. It did have the sign of Scientology. The phone number is disconnected, and the website ScientologyBelfast.org is down, and the place is available to rent and is vacant. So it seems as if maybe they have gone out of Northern Ireland. Roy Wallace of Queen's University Belfast described Scientology as a movement that straddles the boundaries between psychology and religion, offering a greater hierarchy of auditing and training with the intention of releasing the individual's full potential. But they go a lot about the releasing the full potential, not by the scriptures, but by a method of pseudo-psychology. Now, where did the cult begin? Well, L. Robert Ron Hubbard was born in Tilton, Nebraska, on the 13th of March, 1911. His father was Commander Harry Ross Hubbard, and his mother was Dora May Hubbard. In his biography, he said that he was brought up in his grandfather's ranch in Montana, although it seems as if that was not true. He said that his grandfather was I.C. DeWolf, who was a sea captain, but it has been found that the initials I.C. were not his grandfather's initials, but that of his great-grandmother, or his great-grandfather's initials, but that of his great-grandmother. And this telling of falsehoods seems to have run through what he did. He boasted of his academic and scientific credentials, and in reality, his academic accomplishments were mediocre. In spite of an ordinary record at school, he later fraudulently boasted that he'd been a student in the first course in atomic physics in the country and that he'd received an honorary PhD. But when he was exposed later, it was discovered that it was a bogus degree that had been purchased in a diploma mill in California, and he dropped the title doctor. He married Mary Louise Grubb, nicknamed Polly, and began his career as a struggling writer. In 1934, their first child was born, Elron Jr., and then another daughter, Catherine, and they moved to Washington, where they settled, bought a small house there. In the early part of his career as a writer, he was a novelist. In 1935, his output was 10 pulp novels, 3 novelettes, 12 short stories, and 3 non-fiction articles, such titles as The Phantom Patrol, Destiny's Drum, Man Killers of the Air, Hostage of Death, and Hell's Legionnaires. And in 1939, John Campbell, the editor of Astounding Science Fiction magazine, persuaded Ron to try his hand at science fiction. And the result was successful. And his stories in science fiction began to appear regularly alongside his other adventure stories and westerns. Now, the fact that he's a science fiction writer, you should hold in your mind for later on. In 1949, Hubbard attributed improvement in health to the discovery of what he called Dianetics. And a year later, he published his first book, Dianetics, the Modern Science of Mental Health, the first book in this field anyway, which dealt with psychology and the subconscious mind. And from this inauspicious beginning, Scientology developed and now claims a membership of about 15 million people. In 1967, Hubbard established a new group, the C Organization, or C.org, and the membership was drawn from the most committed of Scientologists. And in 1981, the 21-year-old David Miscavige, who had been one of Hubbard's closest aides in the C.org, rose to prominence. Hubbard died in his ranch in Creston, California in 1986, and David Miscavige succeeded Hubbard as the head of the church. What are their beliefs? Well, you're going to have to go through a lot of nonsense here, because it's all about this Dianetics, which he made up. And according to him, the mind is composed of mental images and pictures of every event in a person's life, which memories, pictures, painful events of the past and so on, and they're all in your unconscious mind. And these things he calls engrams, another thing that he made up. And he says that by recalling and erasing these memories, a person can be restored to perfect physical and mental health. They really can be restored to godhood. And again, this thing of godhood comes in. And the process involves a device called an e-meter. We'll show you one of those in a wee minute, which Scientologists say measures the electric flow of your body as the auditor asks you a question. Really, it's a lie detector, really what it is. That's an e-meter. This is a Scientology e-meter there. You hold those two metal things, and then they have a wee dial there on the round thing. It's a dial there. And although the principles of Hubbard's therapeutic process have never been accepted by science, they did have an appeal as what we call the poor man's psychoanalysis. And Hubbard claimed that people could free themselves from all their hang-ups and their trauma, their neurosis, and they could get rid of their engrams, as he called them, by these auditing processes that you paid for. And you did pay for them, but if you were able to get rid of them, then that was called a state of being clear and capable then of fulfilling your full potential. What does Scientology believe about God? Well, the Church of Scientology states that it has no set dogma of God. Now, if you can see clearly, I can see it on that. I don't know whether you can see. If you look at the back of that church building, you can see a thing that looks like a cross. It probably deliberately looks like a cross. But Scientology, and probably that's to attract in a Christian kind of culture, it attracts, but it isn't Christian. It really doesn't believe in God. If you press a Scientology person, do they believe in God? They will say, well, there's an eighth dynamic, this is what they call, and they say that this is the God dynamic. They do believe in the existence of a deity without describing what that deity is. So there's a kind of it's a kind of up in the air thing about who God is or what God is. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is described inconsistently and mostly unfavorably by L. Ron Hubbard. He, in some of his writings, described the Lord Jesus and the crucifixion as fictitious. In later material, Hubbard claimed himself to be Buddha and the Antichrist. He said his mission on earth was to prevent the second coming of Christ, and at times described the Lord Jesus Christ most blasphemously. So there you have the Lord Jesus Christ. What do they believe about the soul and reincarnation? Well, they do believe in reincarnation, which is an occult belief. And according to Scientology, a person is actually an invisible, immortal entity. And this is what Scientology calls a thetan, or thetan. And they say that thetans were originally from another planet. Now, remember that he's a science fiction author. And a thetan, when a person is relieved of their engrams, or the neurosis and the anxiety, that he will regain his godlike powers. He will be able to indulge in telepathy and telekinesis, moving objects. They will have the ability of full perception and all of these things. And by counseling and auditing, they will get to this state, this godlike state. Of that. And according to them, the thetan existed for trillions of years, has had countless lifetimes, and there was something happened in their original forms. They were just energy, and then they had their own home universe, but through a collision of the different universes, there was the creation of what they called matter, energy, space, and time. And when that was created, the Thetans experimented with human form, and in their human form, they forgot what they originally were. And it maintains a series of universal incidents that have undermined the Thetans' ability to recall their origins. So there is that whole thing that has come up. And Scientology believes that there's an inherent goodness in man. They say it's despicable and beneath contempt to tell a person that they need to repent of evil. The Bible, of course, teaches that man's a sinner and that the only hope is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, we said that they believe in reincarnation. So they call death dropping the body. And according to Scientology, when a person drops the body, the Thetan, or spirit, has been pre-programmed to return to an implant station out in space. And therefore, they believe that we are very ancient beings with memories that reach back millions of years, and that we are inherently immortal. And so when the engrams are erased, we will be able to realize that. Now, you can see the picture there is a story from the Daily Mail about an estate agent who was battling with Lyme's disease, and she set herself on fire and killed herself because she believed that dropping the body would just bring her into another life. There would be reincarnation. So you can see the serious nature of these beliefs. The Thetan, as they call it, that has been restored to godlike status is known in Scientology as an operating Thetan or an OT. Now, people have to pay exorbitant fees, sometimes as much as $1,000 an hour, to attain the exalted state of operating Thetan. Now, if you can see that there is the cost of some of the... You go through these different sessions, and you can see there where per 5 hours was $1,000, $800 down at the bottom there, $4,235, $3,388. So really, it's a rich man's process, and they get people into that, and in order to go through these things, they charge all of these fees. Now, Scientology, although they will not say it out loud, this is for the inner members, but it has been revealed that they believe in a sort of satanic figure called Zeno. And the church avoids mention of Zeno in public statements and has gone to make considerable efforts actually to maintain the story's confidentiality, including legal action on grounds of copyright. But Hubbard wrote that Zeno was the ruler of a galactic confederacy 75 million years ago, which consisted of 26 stars and 76 planets, including Earth, which was then known as Tegeaq. And Zeno was captured and imprisoned on Earth, and he brought billions of his people with him, and he placed them around volcanoes and killed them using hydrogen bombs. Now, at the time this was written, the hydrogen bomb was much in the news. And you can see how the time or maybe some kind of being that existed 75 million years ago has technology beyond. How just that it had the technology of the 1950s? But with hydrogen bomb. And then Zeno is very important in the beliefs of Scientology because is the origin of the belief of what is known as body thetans. You see, if you get rid of all of your thetans, and there's still anxiety and fears and all the rest of it, how do you explain that? Well, this is how they explain it, that these alien thetans come and oppress you, and you have to get rid of them as well. And these are called body thetans, and you have to get rid of them through the auditing process, and you pay a whole lot more money for all of those things. And this is how they explain if you've gone through their process and there's still things wrong with you. And I don't know whether that's serious or not. The other one wasn't serious, how to make an e-meter. The last there says, suspend all sense of logic and give $10,000 to John Travolta. I don't know whether that one there is serious. I doubt if it is, but it's supposed to be a suit to keep off the body thetans. But of course, you think of this man as a science fiction writer. The Bible, what's really wrong with man? Is it body thetans or anything? No, the problem with man is that he's a sinner. And the Bible says, ye must be born again. And again, Scientology is another manifestation of what happened in the Garden of Eden. It's man trying to lift himself up by the bootstraps and trying to get into the place of God. Scientology is a very expensive religion, as I keep saying. This is why its pews are filled with the wealthy. Sometimes they will claim that Scientology is compatible with Christianity, but it's anything but. When we compare the teachings of the Bible to what we've just said, there's none of that. All of that stuff about thetans and engrams, you don't find that in the Bible or anything like it in the Bible. They try sometimes to disguise their beliefs in Christian-sounding language, but really it opposes Christianity right at its core. It's definitely not Christian. The Bible teaches that God is sovereign, that he's the creator of the universe. Mankind is created by God. They haven't existed for millions of years. The only salvation, of course, is available through by the grace of God through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And salvation is a free gift. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to go through courses. And you don't have to use e-meters or anything like that. It is the gift of God, which is eternal life. And we thank God today for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We think of him as seated at the right hand of the Father, and we realize that those that do not trust in him are bound to a Christless eternity without Christ and without hope. And it may be somebody that's thinking of Scientology or some of these things is watching on, and we want you to realize that Christ is the answer to your need. He is the one that's able to deal with our fears, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We live in a fallen world. We have anxieties and we do have fears. And there are many memories of things, I'm sure, that we would want to put into the background of our lives. There are many hard days and difficult days. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the God of all comfort and the God of all grace. And we put our hand in his hand, and we thank God that he is able to meet us at the point of our need. And we think of the false prophets that have gone out into the world, and it is just an indication of the ever-quickening pace of things as they come towards the last of the last days. And may we look to Christ today, and may we trust in him with all of our hearts. Well, let's